He fought and encouraged the change with equal ferocity. At last, he only fought it, and the urge to change subsided. He gave out a victory fart, but although this one was long and smelly, it was silent. His asshole was now a broken squeeze box that could no longer make music but only gasp. His fingers returned to their normal pinkish-white shade, and the itching up and down the sides of his body disappeared. His head swam and slithered with fever. His thin arms, little more than sticks, ached with chills. The voice of his red daddy was sometimes loud and sometimes faint, but it was always there. Come to me, run to me, hide thy doubleton self. Come, Kamala, you good son of mine. We'll bring the tower down, we'll destroy all the light there is, and then rule the darkness together. Come to me. Come. 2. Surely those three who remained, four counting himself, had outrun Ka's umbrella. Not since the Prim receded had there been such a creature as Mordred Deschain, who was part Hume and part of that rich and potent soup. Surely such a creature could never have been meant by Ka to die such a mundane death as the one that now threatened, fever brought on by food poisoning. Roland could have told him that eating what he found in the snow around to the side of Dandolo's barn was a bad idea. So could Robert Browning, for that matter. Wicked or not, actual horse or not, Lippy, probably named after another and better known Browning poem called Fra Lippo Lippi, had been a sick animal herself when Roland ended her life with a bullet to the head. But Mordred had been in his spider form when he'd come upon the thing which at least looked like a horse, and almost nothing would have stopped him from eating the meat. It wasn't until he'd resumed his human form again that he wondered uneasily how there could be so much meat on Dandolo's bony old nag, and why it had been so soft and warm, so full of uncoagulated blood.